And away we go, back for hour number two of the NOW program today, Tuesday, December the 3rd, 2019, 16 minutes past the hour, and we're having a great time today. Do want to remind everybody, letters to Santa, Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. If you send a letter, you will get a letter back. Also, our address here, WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. If you send us a Christmas card and you put a return address on it, we will send you a Christmas card back, and we will hang your Christmas card in the office. WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Now, today, we're going to continue in the political theme because there is a lot of stuff going on. There are impeachment inquiries. There are Democratic debate, primary debates going on. The Iowa caucuses are coming up very close. It is political time for sure, and we are going to talk with a gentleman who has not been on this program in a while, but you hear him weekly on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp every Monday morning from 10:10 a.m. until 11 a.m. So glad to welcome to these microphones author, political pundit, all-around good guy, Professor Dr. Ron Fineman. Dr. Fineman, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Good morning, Scott, and thank you for inviting me again.
It's good to have you on the program. We haven't spoken in a while. Let's start off with the impeachment. How do you think this is going, and where is it for people who are not following it closely?
All right. Well, the House, of course, Intelligence Committee already has held hearings for 2 weeks, and they're voting tonight, Tuesday night, on what they're going to present to the Judiciary Committee, and tomorrow the attorneys and the specialists on constitutional law are speaking before the House Judiciary Committee as they're drawing up over the next couple of weeks probably articles of impeachment.
Well, the thing of it is, the testimony that's went down so far, how would you describe it? The witnesses who have been called.
Well, I think they've been very convincing and certainly very honest, much more than people that are elected to public office. These people who work for the government as diplomats really are brilliant, and they really contribute a lot to our country, and they tell the truth, and they really, they really go into what's going on, and I'm very impressed with them. And I'm very disturbed about how Trump was attacking these people, a few of them who had actually been immigrants as young children and came over. And just, the whole thing with the nativism still continues. It's a disgrace. And he also goes after women a lot, as with those couple of women that were also testifying more than against the men. And I think it's just absolutely outrageous.
Now, the polls that I have seen show something kind of interesting, and that's that since the start of the impeachment inquiry, the people in this country, the wide swath of people across the country, seem not to want to have an impeachment. The numbers on that have went down as the trial has gone on. How is that explainable?
I don't really understand. I think it's because a lot of people are not paying that much attention to the details, and they listen to to our president's propaganda. And, I think a lot of them just, tune it out. And I just don't think they realize how important this is for history, if nothing else. It's true he will not be removed. It seems quite clear we're not going to get 20 Republican senators to join with all 47 Democrats to convict him and remove him. And, in fact, no president's ever been removed. But I think for the record of history, his abuse of power needs to be made clear, and we need to have a trial. And Chief Justice Roberts would, of course, preside, and I think he will handle it very well.
Does this become a problem for Democrats in an election year, in that clearly the country does not want an impeachment at this particular point?
It might in some areas. I think for those who are moderate Democrats, in the Midwest particularly, and maybe in the South, it is a problem. But I still think that for the record of history, it's more important than being reelected in those, as individual members of Congress, although they may not say that. And I still think we need to have a clear-cut record so that future presidents would not abuse this kind of power in this way. And if he gets away with it in the sense of not being held accountable as much as he can be, then it's going to encourage presidents of both parties to keep on adding to their power. And I think we have too much presidential power as it is, and it needs to be tamed.
Something that I think a lot of people found that was interesting was the Democratic primary debates have had they've had fairly high audiences watching them. Now, the last one had the lowest audience because the impeachment inquiry was going on, and it got very little press. Nobody seemed to care. The next day, all the shows that did talk about it said the same thing. Nobody cared. Nobody watched it because of the impeachment inquiry. Does that pose a big problem for the Democrats?
I think it could short term. Yes, I think, you know, because people are very fickle and they don't pay that much attention, and they get turned off very easily. But I still think when the trial takes place, even though he would not be convicted, I think it will pique the interest in impeachment and the belief that there will be many people who think he should be removed. And as it is, in the latest poll I saw, 50% thought he should be removed, so it is a majority, just barely, and I think it's going to grow. But, you know, you never can figure out how public opinion is going to go. But public opinion polls, as we've learned, are not accurate. They weren't accurate about the election in 2016. I don't know how much you can believe any public opinion poll at this point of time.
If you have a trial in the Senate, obviously this is going to be covered as voraciously as the impeachment inquiry, maybe even more,
yes,
has been covered. There will be very little headlines, I think, about the primary that the Democrats will be having. There will be no Republican primary. Does that cause big problems?
Well, it does, as I've written on my Progressive Professor blog, for those members of the Senate who are running for president. And I think that does help Joe Biden, and does help Pete Buttigieg, and does help Michael Bloomberg, and does help Deval Patrick, and also others who are running who are not members of the Senate. So it could change the results in Iowa, which is just 2 months from today, by the way. Today's December 3rd. 2 months from today is Iowa. It could change the results, and I think there's a good chance, based on how things look, although you never know with polls, that Pete Buttigieg might win Iowa.
Do you think that's good or bad for the Democratic Party? Because if somebody gets that big momentum in the beginning, that a lot of times can carry them, a la John Kerry, a la Barack Obama.
Yes, well, but I feel whatever's going to happen should happen, and it's just the way life is. You know, I don't think there's anything we can do about it. These senators cannot campaign, except maybe on the weekend. They cannot campaign during the trial. They have to sit and be quiet. Imagine that, in the Senate chamber and listen, because they are jurors. And so, therefore, it will give an advantage to the ones who are not senators. That's true. But if that's what happens, so be it, is what I would say.
When you look at this timeline, when do you think the vote on impeachment will happen?
I think before Christmas. Actually, the Clinton vote on impeachment was the last day of the Congress of that year in 1998, December 19th, and that this time is a Thursday. It would be ironic, but it could very well happen either then or the 20th. I don't think they're going to meet after that, because then, then the 23rd is Christmas week already. I think it's going to happen in the next 2 weeks, and it would be ironic, again, if it happened on the same exact day 21 years later. But the difference is Clinton was impeached in one Congress and tried in the next Congress, which actually is illegal. He's supposed to be tried and impeached and put on trial in the same Congress, but that did not happen. But the Republicans didn't care about the Constitution then, and a lot of them don't seem to care about it now, and they're totally ignoring all the evidence. And it amazes me, even people like Mitt Romney, who at least once in a while says something that sounds good, and then he's called, indeed human trash or other kinds of terrible things by the president. And then he goes to the White House and sits next to the president. And Ted Cruz, after his wife was talked against and his father was supposedly involved in the Kennedy assassination, that he and his wife go and have dinner with the Trump. So they just have no principles. Even the ones who speak up, they don't follow through, and it's very frustrating. This was different in the last time with Nixon, where we had quite a few Republicans who joined with the Democrats and indeed moved to, you know, to force him out of office. And it's just, it's really a disgrace to the Republican Party, as I've written about.
So you do believe that the impeachment vote will happen before Christmas?
Yes.
Is there any chance the president does not get impeached?
I don't think there's any chance of that, because all you need is a majority of the House, and there's like 240 Democrats, and you only need 218 votes if everybody's voting. So, no, there's no chance he will. And, of course, we'll have Justin Amash, the former Republican, a libertarian who is now independent, who's leaving Congress. He will vote also to impeach. But it would be nice to see a few Republicans join in, but probably not. And in the Senate, if it comes to the trial, I always have this thought that some might vote to convict. But I think, and then I wonder, because even the few that seem to have any kind of principles, they, you know, like maybe Susan Collins and maybe, you know, possibly Lisa Murkowski and Ben Sasse of Nebraska and Mitt Romney, those are the ones I would think might vote. But then here we have Romney, after being critical, going to the White House. So I don't know. I just don't know what to think, how these people, how they have a conscience. They don't have a conscience, it seems.
So if the impeachment happens before Christmas, when likely would we see the start of this trial?
Right after New Year's, probably the Monday after, which is, I guess, let's see, it's January 6th or 7th. I guess they'll come back into session, and I would think it would start immediately, and it will dominate probably for at least a month, so it will kill the chance of those senators to campaign, except on the weekend. And, of course, if they decide to hold a 6-day trial, as I gather that Mitch McConnell was talking about, then he might not be able to campaign at all. He might want to do that to harm the Democrats. He would only have Sunday to do it. So it will, I think, affect the politics of 2020 somewhat, but probably toward moderation, because I think the candidates who will not be stopped from indeed campaigning will be the moderate center, not the Sanders and the Warrens on the left.
Is there any chance in the world, knowing what we know now, that the president, that the Senate would vote to remove the president from office?
I would wish for it, but I don't see 20 senators. I could see some, possibly, as I've said, 4 or 5. But I don't think we'll ever get 20, unfortunately. No, I do not think it's possible. But, you know, you never know, because nobody thought Nixon was going to be informed by Barry Goldwater, Hugh Scott, and John Rhodes at the White House that Mr. President, you don't even have 15 votes. So, you know, basically pushing him to resign. But I don't think we have people like that in the Republican Party today. I think Barry Goldwater would be shaking his head now if he was around. And I think Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon and even Joseph McCarthy, of all people, would be shocked at the pro-Russian viewpoint of the Republican Party now that they accept everything Putin says and they keep on promoting the Ukraine, myth. And it's just unbelievable. This is not the same Republican Party that's always been anti-Russian.
Does the trial at this point even matter if people have already made up their minds?
Well, I guess you could say that even with the Clinton trial. But it's still important for the record of history. You have to have the trial, and you have to have the evidence, you know, brought in, and you have to have the vote. But, yeah, I mean, it's not like a regular trial in a court of law. No, it's political. There's no question about it. But I think there's enough grounds to impeach him and to put him on trial by, you know, more than a few. And now the debate is the moderates are saying don't have too many counts. I'm not so sure that's a good idea. Many of the moderate Democrats seem to only want to have it about Ukraine and bribery, but I think obstruction of justice, abuse of power, obstruction of Congress, all things brought up against Bill Clinton, plus the emoluments clause being violated from day one, I think all should be part of the whole equation in my mind, because that's the record of what has been going on, and we need to have it for the long run of history, so then the future presidents will know that at least he was held accountable in a trial, even if not convicted, and for future students and just Americans to know the facts of what really happened, rather than think it's all made up.
Now, this would be a criminal trial in the Senate, would it not?
Criminal trial, but the only thing that could happen is if he's convicted, he's removed from office. He does not go to prison, but he could face criminal charges after he leaves the presidency, even in 2021.
But if they vote not to remove him, he could not face those charges, right?
No, he could after he leaves office, because in a court of law, that's different than the Senate. So he wouldn't be able to be immediately, because he's still in the White House. If he was reelected, he probably could not be, because he would be there to 2025. But if he leaves office, if he loses, and assuming he accepts the loss and we don't have a civil war beginning, God forbid, then he could face charges, particularly in New York, because that is outside the bounds of federal law. That is a city issue, and he could face trial in New York State.
If the Senate votes not to impeach him, or not to remove him, which looks like that's what's going to happen, then isn't his narrative, the president's narrative up until the election, the Democrats tried to remove me for something I didn't do and I was found innocent of all charges?
I don't think so much he's been found innocent. I think it's rather that he hasn't been found guilty. There's a difference. I don't think, you know, the fact is, assuming there are a few Republicans, and I'm hoping there are, if they get at least four, then we have 51, a majority of the Senate, that has said that he is guilty, at least on one count. I'm hoping there's at least four, because that would certainly be the message, even though it's not two-thirds. Now, if we don't get any Republicans, it's still the fact that the evidence is there, but, you know, people play politics, and they all do, and the Republicans are afraid of their shadow, and they don't care about the righteousness of history, and they were ready to remove Bill Clinton for far less cause, and yet now they're not willing to do this in this case. So I think they will stand out in history as hypocrites.
Do you think there has been a time in history where we have been more polarized than we are now, Republican versus Democrat?
Well, in the Civil War period, we were certainly. The pre-Civil War and Civil War and Reconstruction period, that's a long time ago. And there is talk of the idea, you know, with all the people, with all the weapons that we have of their firearms, we could have, God forbid, some kind of, quote, Civil War, end quote, however you want to define it, and that's terrifying. Other than that, the 1960s was very divisive on the issues of the time, the civil rights and the war in Vietnam, but in a different way than the Civil War itself and Reconstruction.
Why is it that way? We don't have a war going on. We don't have an issue like civil rights. Why is it so divisive?
Well, it's been that way really since the mid-90s. I would say, if you're going to give, quote, the blame, I would say Newt Gingrich, the new Speaker of the House in 1995, basically declared war, in quotes, on the Democrats and went after Bill Clinton on things that he himself was doing and the House Judiciary Committee chairman was doing, Henry Hyde at the time, and others. And I mean, he really, you know, he really made it a scorched earth policy. And ever since, Bush also had the same issue, the second Bush, and so did Obama, and now Trump. And it's just both parties, they don't cross the aisle anymore. There's no real cooperation. And I blame both, not just the Republicans, but I blame both parties for that. But it's been going on since 1994 with the election of the Republicans for the first time in 40 years in the House and the first time in 8 years in the Senate. And it's continuing, and it's not good for the country, no.
Is there any middle ground in this country? Are there people who just maybe voted for President Trump and now don't like him, or people who didn't vote for him and do like him? Or is it just black and white on President Trump? You either like him or you don't.
Well, based on polls, I think it's mostly black and white, as you would say. I don't see much gray. And I think he's the cause of a lot of it with his rhetoric, with his whole manner, and his use of his abuse, I would say, of Twitter. You know, there's never been a president since Andrew Johnson. Andrew Johnson's often compared to him, and I think that's true. If you look back, there was an article, I think, in the Atlantic magazine, where they had like a portrait of half the face being Trump and half being Andrew Johnson, and they actually merged pretty well. I thought it was quite funny to see that. And I think, but of course, he was not elected. He succeeded Lincoln, but he divided the country terribly about Reconstruction and about race relations. And he was impeached and found not guilty, but only failed by one vote to reach two-thirds. He almost was removed at the time in 1868. But I think a lot of it is still the president and his basically picking up the Newt Gingrich scorched earth policy.
How much a part of this, because I think about this, how much a part of this does cable news, do newspapers, does the internet play into this? Because it's constantly political. It's kind of funny because Hollywood doesn't seem to matter. It used to be on the cover of all these magazines, it was Hollywood and Hollywood shows. Now it's all political all the time.
And well, news is mostly the most interesting or most paid attention to news is political anyway, or foreign affairs, although we hear about entertainment, business, and sports as well. But I think cable news, as my oldest son would say, dramatizes things, and it's certainly the evening hours, all of them do, not so much during the day, and they make it much more confrontational. I don't think it's quite the same with print media, in my opinion, but I think with cable news, yes, and of course we have so many different sources of news compared to when Nixon was in, and he complained about being indeed covered for, 22 minutes a day on the national news networks? Now it's 24 hours a day.
Do you think President Trump gets a fair shake on anything? Do you think people can look at him, like going to Afghanistan over Thanksgiving? Now, I saw very little positive publicity about that on any cable news channel outside of Fox. Let's put it that way.
Yes. Well, let's face it, the liberal networks do not like him. I thought that was all right that he went. I don't see any problem. I don't attack him on things like that, but there's so many things to attack him on with his policies and his lack of compassion and ethics and morality. That's what really gets to me. But the thing is, Fox is very extreme on one end. MSNBC and CNN, I don't think are as extreme, but they are extreme on the other end. And that's why my oldest son says he doesn't really watch cable news. He reads the newspapers. That's what he does, you know. Now, of course, Trump attacks the New York Times and Washington Post, but the fact is they are the two best newspapers. They are the ones who gave us the goods on Nixon, and I still say they're not perfect. Nothing is perfect in this world, but honestly, they're still the best newspapers, and they still are accurate, I would argue, most of the time, with occasional errors and miscues because they're human. But they usually will admit to their errors if that's the case. But to me, they're the best sources of news, much better than, say, Breitbart or Fox News, even Fox News, online or whatever. So I still think that we have to be thankful that we have two great national newspapers, and add to that the Los Angeles Times and the Wall Street Journal as well.
Does it say anything about these impeachment trials that people aren't paying that much attention, that it actually has swung the idea, the popularity of President Trump being impeached in the opposite direction, because people have lives?
Well, because people are very busy, and it's a harder time to live now because most people have to have more than one job now. You know, it's true the top 1% or a few percent do very well in the stock market, but the average American can't even, can't even meet his needs just with one job, and they have families, most of them, and they don't pay that much attention, and they tune out. And that, unfortunately, benefits those who abuse power, that people don't pay attention. And that's the thing why I say, for the record of history, we have to have it all made clear. And even if he isn't convicted, as neither was Bill Clinton and neither was Andrew Johnson, that it's something that needs to be known for the record of history.
Do you think overall that President Trump gets a fair shake? We talked about this a lot when President Obama was in office. Did the media give him a fair shake? And we always went to Fox News and said, well, Fox News doesn't give him a fair shake, and I think he even said that at one point. Do you think President Trump gets fair coverage?
It's been how you define fair. The point is that he's always attacking the media, calls them fake news and all that, and he's always claiming everything is a hoax. And I think that he causes a lot of the bad, coverage because of his own behavior. If he would keep his mouth shut and stop being on Twitter so much and act responsibly and not make statements that are racist or nativist or misogynistic, which he does regularly, and attacking foreign nations, even NATO nations, and causing a disarray in the NATO alliance and undermining South Korea and undermining other countries that are our allies or have been our allies, I think it would be a lot better. But I think he likes to provoke. I really think he does. I think he enjoys it.
Has a president ever lost re-election with a good economy?
No, but of course the economy will be decided by what it is next September, not what it is now. It could be great, but if it happens to turn badly, and we'll have to see, definitely he would have the advantage. But it also is true that if more revelations come out, that could have, even without the impeachment leading to conviction, it could affect, the mood of many voters. But ordinarily, that's true, that if the economy is good, the president wins. But it's really how it is when the election takes place, not a year earlier, because people have short memories.
What is bothersome to most people, I think, is there is nobody out there who believes, who likes Trump and believes he should be impeached, or who doesn't like Trump and doesn't think he should be impeached. There is no... Those people don't exist. Where are those people? There were those people with Bill Clinton. There were people who voted for Bill Clinton, liked Bill Clinton, but yet thought he should be impeached because he lied under oath. And then conversely, there were those people who did not vote for Bill Clinton who thought, well, maybe he shouldn't be removed.
Well, there's no middle ground. That's the thing, because things have gotten so bad. But I think the independent is where you have to look. The independent vote, if you believe the polls, still seems to think that he should be removed and he should be, certainly put on trial. If you look at the different groups, the Republicans, of course, don't. Democrats overwhelmingly. But independents, from what I've seen, the majority do think he should be put on trial and removed. So, and I think there are those independents and moderates that are going to have to make a choice, even on the economy, that even if the economy is good, do they really want another 4 years of this man? Because, you know, to me, if I was a Republican, I would think the best thing would be to get him out and put Mike Pence in, because he's a real Republican conservative. And, you know, I think he would be much more in line and not as dramatic and as much controversial as Donald Trump. And I would think that many senators would say, let's get Mike in, but that's not happening, it seems.
Let's take a look at the Democratic side here, because some very interesting things are happening. We're seeing people enter the race in November, December of 2019 for a 2020 race, a 2020 primary. Mike Bloomberg, former mayor of New York City, being one of those people. Why is he getting in?
Because he senses that Joe Biden is not going to be able to win the election or be even the nominee. I want to point out one thing, though, how we have changed our moods. In 1960 election, when did John F. Kennedy announce he was running? January 2nd, 1960, the year of the election. When did Bill Clinton announce for 1992? December 1991. So actually announcing at this point is not actually unheard of. It's just we've had it starting earlier and earlier and earlier, where people announce at the beginning of the third year or even the end of the second year of the term. But if you go by history, it's not really too late. But of course, now we have so many candidates and we have so many primaries and caucuses, more than we've ever had. And it's becoming, it's very hard to even keep track of what's going on. And Super Tuesday, March 3rd, is going to be a crucial day with 14 states, including Texas and California, voting. So, I mean, today's December 3rd. February 3rd is a very big day for Iowa. And then we have New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada, June the month. And then March 3rd, 14 states. Everything's on the 3rd of the month. And the election is November 3rd. So it's 11 months from today. It's just funny how it all ends up on the 3rd.
Well, what has been very interesting to me is that you had more people, there were even jokes made about it, still are jokes made about it, there were more people running in the Democratic primary than any other primary in recent history, certainly
ever.
In moderate, ever.
Yeah, the Republicans had 17 in 2016. We've had about 28 if you count everybody who ever announced, yes.
Okay, so more people have run in this Democratic primary than ever, and yet here we are 2 months away from the Iowa caucus, exactly 2 months away, and none of those people are thought of to be strong enough to win the election to the point of where Michael Bloomberg gets in. And somebody else,
Deval Patrick.
Yeah, he gets in for the same reason. And basically their reasoning is, we don't think any of these people can win.
And yet polls indicate that Joe Biden, supposedly, although I think he's shown signs of having issues, that he could win, and also that supposedly Warren could win, and even Sanders could win, according to some polls. But I think the feeling is Sanders and Warren are too far to the left, and Biden is an old guy, but so is Bloomberg, and so is Sanders, all going to be 80 and within a year of being in office or less. I think that's an issue, and that's why I'm really pushing Pete Buttigieg as the best person in my mind, if I could be the the kingmaker.
Do you think there's any chance for Buttigieg, when his popularity with the African-American voters is so low, at historically low levels?
I think there is, because the thing about Joe Biden, and I like Joe Biden, I've always loved Joe Biden, but I think he's past his time, ideally, to be the nominee, although if he's nominated, I'll vote for him and hope for the best, but he better have a good running mate, to be vice president. But I think if you look at Joe Biden's record, I actually am amazed that he has such strong African-American support in South Carolina. Of course, he's connected to Obama. I understand that, and I think he's using that. And yet Obama is not endorsing anyone. But at the same time, if you go back in Biden's record, he was against school busing in the 1970s. He voted for a very strict, tough crime bill in 1994. You know, he's not as if he's always done, from the viewpoint of African Americans, the, quote, right thing, end quote. And yet there's so much behind him, and they're not supporting, as I wrote on my blog and on History News Network on my blog there as well. It's a fact that we're not seeing even Kamala Harris or Cory Booker doing very well, and you would think they would be. So I just wonder if what seems to be the case is reality, and I have a feeling that Pete Buttigieg can improve his situation, and he might very well, if he wins Iowa and or New Hampshire, and it looks like he could win either or both, that he could actually surprise, and Joe may not do as well as we imagine. But, you know, it's all supposition, of course.
I remember 2015, and on the Republican side, the primary debates that they were having, the big story was that Donald Trump was really laying into the Republican field and calling people names and really putting, but holding steady at number one in the polls, which people did not think he would be. And the Democratic story was that Bernie Sanders was doing very well with young people and giving Hillary Clinton a little bit of a run for her money. There is no story. There is nothing like that now. And as I said, the last Democratic debate had historically low viewership. Why is that happening with so many candidates?
I think there's too many candidates, you know, in the debates. I think it needs to be, can't do much about it, but I think we need to have fewer candidates in the debates, and I think 10 or 12 is just too much. And I do think that Pete has really risen, though, and I think we're not giving enough attention to how he has risen. Whoever thought the South Bend, Indiana mayor could do this well? And I really think he's the person to watch, as much as Jimmy Carter came out of, quote, nowhere, end quote, in 1975-76, and as Barack Obama came out of almost like nowhere with his name, particularly Barack Hussein Obama, in 07-08. So I really think Pete's got a good chance to be the nominee or be the running mate. And if he's the running mate, which is interesting, and assuming Pence is the vice president's, you know, candidate against him, both from Indiana, we'll have Mike Pence, who's extremely anti-gay, against the gay mayor of South Bend. That would be some debate to watch.
What do you think is going to happen between now and February? Because this is the last chance for a lot of people. Do you think anybody else is going to get in? Do you think anybody else is going to drop out before the first caucus?
Well, I think some of the people who have never made a debate will drop out. You know, there's still, I think, 16 people left. And we had Steve Bullock drop out. I think we will see some drop out. As far as the 10 or so that have been in the debates, I don't know. Tulsi Gabbard, I do not see going anywhere, but she's not leaving, I don't think. Andrew Yang is not leaving. I don't think Tom Steyer is. And I personally am not thrilled of having a billionaire, either Steyer or Bloomberg. I'd rather have someone who isn't a billionaire. Although in Bloomberg's case, at least he actually did have experience and was, I think, quite a good mayor of New York. That's the advantage he has. But he's trying to buy the election with just having commercials, and that turns me off. And yet he's gained a few percent in some of the recent polls in the last week. So it's hard to know what's going to happen. But I am concerned there could be so much division that nobody will have enough delegates, and it will be a divided convention. And that is not a good thing for the Democratic Party coming up for next year.
Why does Andrew Yang get no national attention?
Well, he gets some attention for $1,000 a month idea, right, for all adults, which, by the way, as extreme as some people think it is, Richard Nixon, 50 years ago, of course, didn't go very far with this, suggested $500 a month for every adult. And imagine Richard Nixon doing that in 1970, 71. But I think it's because he's also a businessman. He's an entrepreneur. I don't know if he's a billionaire, but he's certainly very wealthy. But I think that other than the $1,000 a month idea, which many people think is sort of like radical, you know, I think he's just not seen as a serious candidate, but he manages to get enough support to be able to be in these debates.
When did Joe Biden become a shaky candidate? Somebody who's not raising the money that the Democrats think you need to raise, who's not turning voters on like they think needs to happen. When did he become so shaky?
I think since he left the vice presidency. Unfortunately, if he had been the nominee in 16, which I'm not sure he would have been, he might not have been able to stop Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, I think he would have won. And, of course, years ago when he tried earlier, but I think he's unfortunately not up to it. And the funny thing is that people say, why, because of his age? I said, not necessarily, because Bernie Sanders, who I'm not a big fan of, is still very vibrant, even after having a heart attack. And Bloomberg is, so it's just Joe has slowed up, and he looks worse lately, and he stumbles more, and he's just not the same person. I still like him a great deal, and I'll support him, but I am worried in a debate with Trump, he might not do well enough. You know, even though he did well against Paul Ryan and Sarah Palin, but that was years ago, in 8 and 12, so that's a long time ago, and he is 77 now. So I don't know, I don't think he's the ideal candidate. I think having a new generation, as we had with Kennedy, as we had with Clinton, meaning Bill Clinton, and with Obama, somebody in their 40s, or in his case, he'd be only 39 years and one day old on inauguration day. Imagine that, the youngest president ever. I think it's very exciting, and I think we need some fresh blood.
But with somebody like Buttigieg, I mean, is there even a chance in a national election that he would win his home state of Indiana?
Oh, boy. I think he might, but probably not. But I think he could carry most of the Midwest. I'm not sure about Ohio either. Ohio is hard to figure out. Ohio seems to be going more to the right. But I think as far as Michigan and Wisconsin, and, of course, keeping Minnesota, I think is likely. And possibly even to win Iowa, I think it could be possible. I do think that young people would like him. I think that open-minded people would like him. And I frankly don't think the issue of his sexuality should even be an issue. And I look at it and I say, if Trump has to run against him, is he going to bring up the issue of his being gay? I would not think so, because that would be very touchy to bring up. Maybe others would, but I don't think he would. And what else can he really bring up against him except the issue about blacks not seemingly liking him, but they don't really like Trump either? I think he has fewer weapons against Pete than he does against anybody else. He can make fun of course, of Warren. He can call Sanders a socialist. He can, of course, talk, you know, about Sleepy Joe. What can he really say against a guy who would only be 39, is a Rhodes Scholar, was in the military, knows 7 languages, including Norwegian, and, you know, really is a brilliant young man? What can he really say against him other than his lifestyle? And I don't think, for most Americans, that's going to matter. And for those who it does matter to, they wouldn't vote Democratic anyway.
Hasn't there been some issues with his tenure as mayor when it comes to how he feels about police and the African-American community? Isn't this why he's hurt with African-American voters?
Well, he's had issues on race, yes, but actually so has Bloomberg. I mean, anybody who's been a mayor and has to deal with the issue of crime probably ends up being in trouble on issues like that, you know. So it's an issue, but I think he can overcome it. I really think he's improving, and I really see him, you know, being the best choice right now. Now, maybe he won't be, and again, I'll support whoever it is, because I'm not supporting Trump, but I think having fresh blood, a new generation, and someone as intelligent and also a military guy, which only he and Tulsi Gabbard can claim that, you know, among the candidates, I think those are real positives.
Is the message that we just have to get rid of Trump good enough for the Democrats? Because that seems to be what it is overall.
I think it's got to be more than that. It's got to be about the need to reverse a lot of the horrible damage he's done in domestic and foreign affairs, because that is a big issue on the environment, on foreign policy, on civil liberties, civil rights, on what's going on at the border with the refugee children that have been separated from their parents. There's so many things that are so outrageous that, yes, we want to remove him, but we also have to reverse. We cannot afford another 4 years of this, because I think it would make our presidential power so great that it would be irretrievable to bring it back to norm. And I think it's dangerous for the future of the country and the Constitution.
When we see a full poll with Bloomberg in it, with all of these television ads that he spent a lot of money on, who's he going to hurt in the polls?
As far as the Democratic Party,
yeah,
you mean, right?
Yeah.
I would think Joe Biden's going to hurt. I don't think he's going to hurt Pete, honestly. I think it hurt Joe Biden the most, because he was not coming in if Joe was able to do the job, he said, but now he's decided he can, which may be the truth. But I think Joe Biden is going to start, I hope he doesn't, but I think he's going to start slipping. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next 2 months, but Pete is the one that really has risen. Even Warren rose, and then she started to fall, and Harris has really been a big disappointment, and Cory Booker has really declined. And I just think the signs of Pete rising is a good sign, and I think his candidacy will look better as time goes by, and seen as totally different from the person that's an old guy who could be his father, meaning Trump. And I think that's a plus.
How much is the Ukraine issue and the Trump trial in the Senate going to hurt Joe Biden?
I don't think very much, because while his son shouldn't have been probably on that board of that company, there is, at least at this point, no evidence of any corruption at all, other than the fact he was getting paid $50,000 a month. But the thing that scares me the most is that our president doesn't like Ukraine, and Ukraine has been victimized by Russia, you know, and lost some of its territory. And the thing is that Ukraine, we do not want the Russians taking back all of Ukraine, and I think that's what Putin wants to do. And I think basically what Trump is saying is, without saying it out loud, that he doesn't really care what happens to Ukraine. And I think that's very scary and dangerous. I think that's the thing to focus on, not about Hunter Biden.
Now, it wouldn't be a show if we didn't mention Hillary Clinton, but actually this time we have some interesting stuff to mention, because she did an interview about 3 weeks ago now, I think it was, in which she was asked about the candidates and the Democratic process that was going on, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, Hillary Clinton says that she's being strongly persuaded to get into this race.
Oh boy.
And also, she says this out of the blue, and then she says, when the lady says, well, would you ever do that? She says, I would never say never. Now, what is this?
I don't know. I really don't think she should. I think that would be create more division. I mean, she should have been the president. I think she really won the election if you didn't have the Russian collusion, which I am certain it occurred. But I really think that we need to move on, and I think it would not be good. But also, I want to mention, I don't watch Fox News, but I happened to put it on for 5 minutes one night, Tucker Carlson, and he had somebody on saying that the strong rumor is Michelle Obama is going to announce. And I said, oh, my God. But there's no hint of that going on, although her book sold better than any book in history. But that's another person that you could add to the equation. But there's clearly no chance that I can imagine, although they talked about it, that Michelle Obama would run. But I hope Hillary doesn't run, because, oh, my gosh, that would definitely guarantee, I think, a split convention, and that would not help the Democratic Party.
Do you think she's got the Michael Bloomberg syndrome, that she looks at these candidates after 6 months and says, boy, none of them can do this?
Well, everyone who runs, particularly the ones who are better known or have big egos, just like our president, so who can say? But really, I think it's time for Hillary to, you know, to write another book, do more lectures, spend time with her grandchildren, just like Joe Biden. I mean, he's going to be 78 by the election, or right after. Why not just enjoy your family? You're not a young man anymore. You know, you should be retired, and you can speak and make money, but you don't need to have the grief and the stress of being president.
But isn't that a problem, though, when we just elected the oldest president ever?
Well, it is. And by the way, Elizabeth Warren, if she won, would be a year older than Trump when he came in. So she'd be the oldest president, as would Bloomberg, as would Biden, and as would Sanders. So all four of them, as far as coming in, would be older than Trump was. Yes, I think I myself am in my 70s. I do not think someone in their 70s should be starting to run. Eisenhower was right in 1960, coming to be 70 with 3 months left and making this statement, nobody older than me should be president. And I thought, yes. And then we got Reagan and Trump. Reagan with his health issues, Trump with his various mental and physical issues. And I really think we should have somebody younger, really.
Why do you think Hillary said that? In your political read, why did she say that? At this point in her life, at this point in the election cycle, why make a statement like that?
Well, she loves attention, which is not unique to her, and I'm sure she would love to come back and be able to reverse a lot of what Trump did. I can understand it, but I really think it would create such division. It's like enough already, and even with Bloomberg coming in and Deval Patrick coming in, I just think enough is enough. Let's pick among the candidates, and I say let's go for a new generation such as Pete Buttigieg.
Now, if Bloomberg is the nominee, is he going to try to limit the size of sodas for the United States? This is a big thing for a lot of people.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I think that was quite silly. And I think some of the things he did as mayor were good, but he's a control freak. Well, because maybe everybody in government is, but I just think that while I like what he says about the environment and about guns, And I applaud what he's done on those issues. I don't see him as being a person who should be president in my mind. But again, if he's a nominee, I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump, so I will have to vote for him, but with, I guess, holding my nose and closing my eyes.
Is Bloomberg a moderate, in your opinion?
Yes, I think he's a moderate to the left, you know, a little to the left, but he's not like Warren, not talking about Medicare for all, and not like Sanders, no. And I think moderate center left is the best way to go myself.
Who most likely will get the nomination if the election, if the primary was held today, who would win the primary?
Maybe at a national primary?
Yeah. Who's going to be the nominee if it was done today? We don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 months. Who knows? Scandals,
trials. We don't have
a vote
like that. I guess Joe Biden probably would be the nominee because he's the establishment guy that we know, and he's close to Obama. And he might be all right, you know. And again, if he isn't throughout the term, as long as we have a good vice president, I just worry about him in the campaign that he messes up. That's what, once he's in, if something goes wrong, we have a backup. But I just worry about him messing up in a debate.
What are the percentages right now if the election were held today that Trump would be reelected?
Oh, boy. I'd say 50-50. I wouldn't go beyond that, but probably even.
So pretty good.
Yeah, well, because the economy's good, even though it's not affecting everybody. It's really only a small percentage that really are doing well. But on the surface, yes. He takes credit as if Obama didn't do anything before him, but he really set up a good economy for Trump, unlike when Obama came in with the worst economy under Bush since Herbert Hoover.
Now, just before we end, just to be positive, do you have one positive thing to say about President Trump?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I have to have a little time to think about it. I don't know what I can
say.
That's
not a good
sign,
Dr.
I don't even like the way he treats his family, frankly. So, okay, I really can't think of anything right now.
We'll let that flow for now. Dr. Ron Fineman, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and you can catch Dr. Fineman on Monday mornings on this station between 10:10 and 11 a.m. It's always interesting, Dr. Fineman. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much, Scott. I really enjoyed it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Dr. Ron Fineman, and we'll be back tomorrow with much more programming. Today you got Voice of the People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 p.m. You've got the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, 5:10 to 6 p.m., and the Adam the Computer Guy Show, 2:10 until 3. Until tomorrow, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.